Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
And we return for hour number two of the Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for being with us here on KDON 101.5 FM. It is the talk of Las Vegas. We've got the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment for you here. Yeah, we'll call it a tie with Jeremy Lambert and the boys from Fightful, just to be fair. You know, I don't want to insult anybody or, you know, put them in a bad spot and say, you know, start a fight early on Sunday morning, even though he's coming in from the East Coast. But we have a terrific show, and we want to thank all of you for tuning in. We certainly do appreciate it. And you know what? I just don't feel like wasting any time, because you've heard me enough for hour number one. Let's bring in a fresh voice for you from Fightful.com. In the Weeds does a great show there on YouTube on Fightful Overbooked. If you haven't listened, well, you know what? You are missing something just so divine and spectacular. You know, it's just heavenly. Jeremy Lambert on the show. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Mark? I appreciate the intro. I appreciate the kind words about a show where, I mean, I don't know how much we can say, but like, we get a little wild on that show. It's a you know, kind of early morning for us over there on In the Weeds. And we're talking about punching boxes and making movies that shouldn't be made. I don't know if people really want to listen to that. It's not always wrestling centric.
Yeah, that's all right. It's fun. That's what you're supposed to do. I think people forget that sometimes, that, you know, you're supposed to be doing something entertaining, you know, so it's okay to entertain and deviate every once in a while.
Hey, that's fair. And we got to do it 3 days a week as well. We don't have to. We choose to do it 3 days a week. We like to have a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I got to work with Joel Pearl for 3 days a week. I know he's been on this show before. Probably maybe said nice things about me, but I'm never going to say a nice thing about him.
Well, good. I don't blame you. Yeah, I got to hang out with Joel when he was down here for the TNA event. Sorry. And I'm sure he's going to be coming back for the next one, too. So I would imagine I'll get to see him again. So. But yeah, he was all right. Come on, man. He's Canadian.
Yeah, Canadians are like, they're nice to your face, but then they're real jerks otherwise.
Wow.
Just jerks, people.
Well, it depends. It depends which Canadians you're talking about. But Joel was cool. Come on. Come on. You're throwing onto the bus a little much.
I don't mind, Joel. If I do a show with somebody 3 days a week, I got to like them to some extent. I couldn't do a show with somebody as often as we do and not get along with them to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely. He's okay. Be good, Jeremy. Because I'll text him right now. I'll tell him to get on the show.
I'll text him too and tell him that I'm burying him. I don't care.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's get down to a little business here. I haven't got to talk to you too much about this lead up to WrestleMania. And ever since The Rock invaded and has made things all sorts of crazy and goofy and silly and gotten Fox involved and has women flashing their boobs and all this crazy stuff. What have you thought about all this? Because I know I was kind of like, this is weird. And then it's taken wild twists and turns. What do you think?
I thought when The Rock initially came back and Cody did the whole step aside and like, yeah, I'm going to take everything from you, but not at Mania. Here's The Rock. That was when I was like, this doesn't seem like the play, even though I loved the idea of Rock and Roman. I do think that is a big match. I do think fans would have been excited for that match. Then they pivoted. How well they pivoted is up to you. You know, the story could maybe a little disjointed on how they tried to tell it, but I've loved everything The Rock has done. It's a throwback to the Attitude Era a little bit, a throwback to just kind of the Wild West days of, yeah, sure, let's just do 20-minute promos, 30-minute promos. Let's go a little bit longer. Let's say things that are a little bit wild, like go smoke some crack and Phoenix is the meth and crack capital of the world. Like, it's a little bit crazy. I'm for that. The Rock concert, like, Rock is cool in a wrestling setting. I think Rock is cool in general. I know he's taken some hits in Hollywood over the past few years, but in a wrestling setting, The Rock is cool, and heel Rock is certainly very cool. So I've enjoyed just about everything Rock and Cody and Roman and Seth have done. I thought Friday's segment was could have used a little bit more, but they got still another 2 weeks. So two more SmackDowns before it. So you don't want to peak too early on things. So the understated tones of Friday's segment, I was okay with.
You know what the funny part was when I watched that segment was I felt like Roman has been carrying this whole thing for all this time. And it just felt very, I don't know, like Roman just felt amateurish almost. You know what I mean? It with Rock doing what he's doing, and just because he's so good and such a great actor, that it almost felt like Roman was a notch or two below, and it made you feel almost disappointed that he was there, which was strange. You know what I mean?
It does feel Rock is definitely such a big star that Roman and really everybody else can feel overshadowed. I do agree with that. I think Cody has done a good job of holding his own because Cody's actually gotten the lick in, right? Like Rock slapped Cody, Cody slapped Rock. Like he actually got the lick into him on that. And Cody, like it feels like they're building more Cody and Rock than they're building Cody and Roman.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched Roman on Pat McAfee's show on Friday. He came off great on that. But then in the arena, it wasn't quite the same energy with things. And I do think Rock's presence does have a little bit to do with it because Rock isn't exactly a bloodline, like universe type of thing. Rock is one, not only a much bigger star than anybody in wrestling, but he is very over the top, kind of comic book superhero or supervillain in this case, personality. Roman is more, you know, the cinema stuff. He's a little bit more understated and a little bit more speaks in softer tones type of thing. Rock is big, boisterous. You know, I got to do a rock concert. I got to bring in this band and I got to sing to the people and I got to make all these references. I do have to curse and stuff. Roman is more, you know, sit on the couch and be like, what happened out there? What are we doing? You know, we ran the wrong plays out there. It's two different tones. And it doesn't exactly blend well all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's very intriguing to and how this all ends up, it's anybody's guess. But Jeremy, fantasy booked this a little bit, and don't forget we still got Damian Priest flying around. You know, we got Drew McIntyre flying around and Seth Rollins. There's a lot of moving parts to this over these two nights. That this is going to be a fascinating top of the card at WrestleMania for these two evenings in Philadelphia.
I mean, I don't know if you want me to fantasy book it. I get in trouble with my fantasy booking.
Oh, please
ideas
do.
Because I'm very much an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
I don't care about Cody's story. I'm not attached to any of these wrestlers. You know, it doesn't hit me in the same way. I want the most chaotic outcome in the world. And to me, the most chaotic outcome is something like Roman pins Seth night one and then Roman pins Cody night two. Because I think most people are over Roman's reign and they want Cody to finish the story. And me, I'm like, the most chaotic thing is actually if Roman wins this whole thing. Or I can live with Rock loses night one. And then we get no bloodline interference. Roman wins night two. Then we get the build to Rock and Roman for 41, where Roman is like, you almost cost us everything. You lost night one. You made it so bloodline couldn't interfere. I had to go out there on my own, which I'm not opposed to doing. But you took away our biggest advantage. You took away the advantage of family. You came in here and just about ruined everything for us. And now you got to pay. And then Roman's got to prove he's superior to The Rock. So I'm fine if Roman wins, holds the title to 41, faces Rock at 41, wins that, holds it to 42. I'm fine with all that. See, most people aren't going to like that, but I'm okay with it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out a way to, you know, I'm kind of hoping that maybe Seth gets all beat up on night one and somehow they cost him the world championship with a cash in. And then you end up having Drew and Damian Priest on night two, or maybe a triple threat, and something crazy happens with that. And, you know, just I want total nightmarish chaos for everybody. I want them all to crash and burn.
I do want Drew to win night two. I think that's the best play for night two. I'm not tied to a Damian Priest cash in. He's still got until July. He's still got time. People seem to think it's going to be Mania, but I don't think Seth should beat Drew at night two. I don't think that Priest, Drew walking out of night two as the champion is the best move to me. I don't think Seth should win. And then I don't think Seth should win and then cash in, then Priest cash in. If Priest cashes in, kind of like Seth did at 31, makes it a triple threat match, pins Seth, Drew is mad again that he got screwed, and it's like, what are we doing out here? And then maybe Drew wins on Raw or the next pay-per-view. I don't think Priest is a long-term kind of champion, and I'm not even sold on the idea that he should win the title at Mania.
Well, I'd even like to see Punk cross Drew the match. Now, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure Punk said he's going to be there, so I get that. But he doesn't really need to cost him the match. Like, if I'm Punk, what do you need to cost him for? Just let him win, and then when you come back, whenever that is, then you could beat Drew.
Yeah. I'm thinking chaos too, Jeremy. I just bodies everywhere, strewn all over the place. That's what I want.
Drew winning is chaos because that man's a menace unto himself.
Yes, he is.
On social media and in interviews. He's fantastic. Love Drew McIntyre. That's why I want him to be the champion.
Yeah. So this is going to be we're just talking about the top of the card. You know, we still got a whole ton of other matches at WrestleMania too. And of course, R-Truth and The Miz could be walking out with the tag team titles. Can you believe that?
It feels like they're going to split the titles finally, which is good. And in that somebody pulls down one set of titles and somebody else pulls down another set of titles. Like, it feels like they're going to finally just split those titles, which I'm all for the titles splitting. Because the run with the Judgment Day, I mean, it peaked when Sammy and Kevin actually won the titles last year. And then it's just kind of been slowly dissenting until then. I'm all for them splitting. They got the tag teams to carry two divisions at this point on Raw and SmackDown. They don't need Judgment Day doesn't even show up on SmackDown anymore. For a while they were showing up, but now they're really not. So I do think they need to split the titles. And Truth and Miz winning it for on the Raw side, I'm all for that. Seems like New Catch Republic is getting kind of a pretty big push on the SmackDown side, so maybe they take those titles. I'd kind of prefer Street Profits though, just because I think their pairing with Lashley needs a little something extra that they don't really have right now, and maybe it is the tag team titles. But I do hope they just split those titles.
Now you got me thinking about R-Truth grabbing one set of the belts and just running out of the building.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it, though, right? Is just R-Truth.
That would be the way to do it, yeah.
And just R-Truth is like, I got one set, we won. And then it's like, wait, no, there's another set. Instead of, you know, the obvious way would be, oh, there's two people on the ladder fighting, and then one person pulls down one set, and another person pulls down another set. That's another way to do it, but I actually like the idea of just R-Truth pulls down one set of the titles. He thinks he's won the whole match. There's still another set of titles up there, and then some other team goes up there and it's like, well, we got these now, so we're now this champion.
Oh, God. Now my head's just spinning, Jeremy Lambert. It's just spinning, and it's all your fault.
My bad.
It's all good, brother. It's all good. That's why I like talking to you, because the creative mind of the chaotic brain of Jeremy Lambert, it's just absolutely incredible. So I'll tell you what, I'm gonna stop.
You can do anything you want.
That is very true. And many crazy things happen in this unbelievable industry of pro wrestling. I've got an interesting question for you, because for those that don't follow Jeremy's Twitter account, he always has a couple different things he likes to put on there, and one is about Bryan Danielson. And when we come back, Bryan Danielson just had an interview where he brought something very entertaining up, and I'm going to ask Jeremy about it when we come back. So let's take our first break, and when we return, more with Jeremy Lambert from Fightful.com. He's one of the best in the industry, guys. So you are privileged to listen to this man. Take everything he says as gospel. Stick around. We'll be right back.
...101.5 FM, KDON.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
And we return to the Mark Hoke Show here on KDON, 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas, the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment, because that's what we do, and I get the best guests, guys like Jeremy Lambert. And I just want to give a quick reminder to everybody, in case you didn't hear our announcement in the first hour, I am going to be the on-stage host at the Vegas Toy Con. That's right, kids. They're putting me up there, and they're going to let me run rampant at the Vegas Toy Con April 5th through 7th. That is WrestleMania weekend. So before you start tuning into your televisions for WrestleMania, I'm going to be up there hanging out with Mick Foley and Sting at the Vegas Toy Con. It's going to be awesome. Plus, of course, Mario Lopez, Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Power Ranger, Kyle Phillips, and let's see who else is going to be there. I've got my whole list. Adam Rodriguez is going to be there from CSI Miami. We got Dawn Bennett and Tia Ballard from My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball Z, all that. It is going to be awesome. So go get your tickets. Just go to Vegas Toy Con right now, April 5th through the 7th. I'm even going to be playing some Plinko and Match Game with all of you, too. So it's going to be terrific. So, yeah, Mick Foley and Sting, and we got the FSW press conference. I know Brian Cage and Chris Bay and some others are going to be there, too. So I know I'm going to be interviewing Mick Foley at that. So it's going to be great. Great, I tell you. And you get me, which means I'll probably try to ruin it. But that's okay. So check it out at VegasToyCon.com. Jeremy, that's going to be scary. This is getting live streamed too. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm just going to be interviewing Mick Foley from a live studio audience at the World Trade Center in Las Vegas.
You're going to do great. Ask Foley about, you know, doing a last match. He's talked a lot about that. He says he's going to try to do it. Ask him about mind games against Shawn Michaels, one of the greatest matches of all time. Those are the top two questions that I would have. I really want to know more about, I'm sure he's spoken about it. He has spoken about it a lot, but mind games against Shawn Michaels. Ask him about that.
I will definitely consider that. By the way, just a reminder to everybody out there, it's on the ToyCon site. No bats allowed.
Oh, can't bring a bat for Foley or Sting?
No bats allowed. Sorry. That I just noticed that on the promo sheet there. That's pretty bad. No bats allowed. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, Jeremy, because Jeremy, give him the line without swearing. Give him the line about Bryan Danielson.
Imagine thinking Bryan Danielson ain't the effing goat. That is my tweet every single time Bryan Danielson comes to the ring for a wrestling match.
There you go. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this quote that he had in this interview. I believe it was with SXSW, and it was talking about his philosophy on attracting a wrestling audience. I thought this was really interesting. Here's the quote. You're not just battling other shows. You're battling people's addictions to their phones and all sorts of things. How do you keep people's attention? In my mind, it keeps going back to this idea of quality. Something I said when I first joined AEW is that if you put on excellent professional wrestling, people will tune in. That's the goal weekly. Put on an excellent professional wrestling show. Now, do you think he's totally right when he says that? That if you just go out and you put on good matches, that's going to do the trick. Is he correct?
I hate to say Bryan Danielson is wrong because he's Bryan Danielson. But sometimes you got to put the title on the top guy. Sometimes the top guy's got to be the top guy. People want to tune in to see great wrestling matches. Yes. I don't think Bryan Danielson losing all the time always makes the most sense. I do think Bryan Danielson should hold a championship. You look at the champions in AEW, it is established people. Samoa Joe has been around for 2 decades. Kazuchika Okada was the top star in New Japan for the last decade. The TNT title was on Christian. Now it's on Adam Copeland. Like, it's on established people. So I don't want to say Bryan Danielson's wrong. That's blasphemy. But I do think there's nothing wrong with your top guy and the best overall wrestler actually holding the title, because then people will want to tune in to see that champion, and then they will see the stuff around the champion.
Let me take a different approach to what he said too.
Okay.
What if the person that people want to see, for example, is a guy like R-Truth, somebody that's just really entertaining. And there's a reason that people do promos, and there's a reason that people do other entertaining things. If you think back to some of the stuff that we've seen in pro wrestling, like, for example, I'm going to be having Booker T on SportsX Radio when I'm sitting in. Think about the supermarket fight with Steve Austin and Booker T as an example. Well, that's not wrestling. That's something goofy that they did. But you also need to do things like that to keep people interested as well. And I think sometimes it's not just about the actual what goes on in the ring, but what surrounds it too. Stories, funny stuff, or sometimes it's serious stuff that happens outside the ring, the beatings or whatever that build up to what goes on in the ring too. I think sometimes that for a little while, maybe AEW forgot that you can't just, you have all this talent, but you've got to build up things around those matches to make people interested in them. So it's not totally about the matches. Now, if you put on the great match, yeah, it's going to attract, but you have to make people care about that match too, because if they don't, there's no emotional investment in it. You know what I mean?
I agree, but they tried this with MJF. Like, there's different ways to tell stories. I think people think that the only way to tell story is like soap opera. And like, oh, you got to hit this person with your car to tell a story. Or this person's got to cheat on their significant other to tell this story. Like, that's not the only way to tell the story. And I think that's where they got kind of bogged down last year with some of the MJF stuff. Mm-hmm. Is they tried to do the big devil story, and like, people are interested, but then it ran a little too long. The payoff was what it was, and now look where that story is. Like, Undisputed Kingdom ain't really relevant on these shows. MJF's been off of television. So sometimes, like, you can tell stories in a simplistic way that gets people excited. I mean, that's what they're doing essentially with Danielson and Ospreay. It's like, all right, well, who's the better wrestler?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's all people want, and you could just tell and you can do promos through that lens as well. I do think there still needs to be maybe a little something there. And this is to go back to Danielson. Like, this is where I don't think Danielson should have lost to Kingston, because if you're trying to tell me Bryan Danielson is the best wrestler in the world, and also trying to tell me wins and losses matter, why is Will Ospreay going after Bryan Danielson? He should be wanting to face Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston beat Bryan Danielson. That's where this is where I think Bryan Danielson should not lose ever. But that's just, me. But like, you can tell stories through different means. Right. Not every story needs to be some soap opera drama type thing. I think it helps. I think like, people do want to see that. But there's also, you can take a just a different approach. Like the Samoa Joe Swerve Strickland story is good. Right now, it's just Samoa Joe is the champion. He is, you know, a dominant reigning champion. Bring your record, bring your reputation. I'm going to beat all you guys up. And Swerve Strickland has a goal of being the first African-American AEW champion. He feels he's been a little overlooked. He's vanquished Hangman. Hangman has also tried to stand in his way by he couldn't defeat Hangman, so it had to be a triple threat. Now you got Takeshita coming in. You're putting obstacles in his way. There's nothing really over the top about this. One man has a goal of wanting to beat people up and remaining the champion. The other guy has a goal of wanting to be the champion. You throw in some roadblocks and stuff, and people get excited for it.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the balance. And, you know, it's got to be hard sitting in that room and writing this stuff and, you know, being careful to not make it, you know, too soap opery. And sometimes, yeah, it's just as simple as I've got the two best wrestlers in the world here. Here you go. But I think sometimes too that with AEW they realize I think Tony knows he's got these great guys, and sometimes though I think he does oversimplify things a little too much. You know what I mean? That he knows he's got these great guys together and just kind of throws it out there and is hoping that everybody is like, oh yeah, I know these two guys, they're awesome, I can't wait for this match. To the casual fan that may not know who some of these people are, it's like, okay, you know, all right, they're going to wrestle. So it's a weird balance. So, I mean, I know what Brian's saying, but I don't know. It's tricky. It's really a tricky line to walk. So
it is. And I think people they put a lot of stock obviously into ratings and viewership numbers and ticket sales. And look, there's no parsing it. AEW, the last few shows have done well, but the last show was, you know, Mercedes' debut, and then it was a big show in Toronto. Hopefully that increases things moving forward. But, you know, the ticket sales haven't been great as throughout most of this year. The viewership is kind of plateaued where it's at. So people are always going to look at, okay, well, what can we do different? Because clearly this isn't working right now. And I think where they messed up is they did try to go too different. And that is what kind of turned off so many people. Obviously the Punk stuff didn't help. The whole situation it divided the fan base. It really, really did. If you looked online, fan base was completely divided. You were either Team Punk or you were Team Elite. And I think a lot of those Punk people were like, all right, well, I'm out on this. I was only here for Punk. And now he's gone. You've got people tarnishing him. I'm out. I'm done with this. So I don't think that helped at all. But I do think they tried to go a little too different in some instances, and it did turn people off to it. And I think what they were doing was working, because what they were doing was presenting an alternative. I also think that WWE has now almost become its own alternative now that Vince is gone, and that like they are a little bit more focused on wrestling. Not as much, you know, it's still a lot of promo talk and everything, but you're not just going to get the throwaway matches as much, or the endless amounts of rematches as much. There's more defined characters. There's more stakes in the matches now that WWE just wasn't doing for the longest time. And now people are like, oh, well, they're already the top in the industry. What they're doing now is actually what we want. So we're just going to tune in here instead of watching AEW, because everything they're doing is just kind of coming off as a secondary promotion. So it's tough being number two. They're a very strong number two. I hope people realize that, and that like they're not close to going under or anything like that. It's a very strong number two. It's great to have, but it's not there's no simple fix of like, if they just did this more, things would be great and they would challenge WWE. You know, they're doing things really well right now, and we should appreciate that.
Yeah, we should. And it's weird to just hear people, you know, wanting AEW to go under, and I'm just sitting there saying to myself, well, part of the reason that WWE is so good right now is because AEW's there. You know,
yeah.
You know, that competition pushed them to a new level, and they're both pushing each other to a place that I didn't think wrestling could get to. And it's actually taken all the rest of the industry to a much better place as well. I mean, you know, the TNA product's better. The indie product is even getting better. I mean, I think a lot of times, especially even on the indies, that everybody felt like, well, if I don't get to WWE, I'm not going to make it. And, you know, I'm going to have to be super spectacular. And if I'm not hooked in with somebody there, you know, what am I doing? You know? So now the door has been just swung open at every promotion in the country. And I think it's been amazing to see the improvement at every level in professional wrestling lately. It's a lot of fun.
To circle back to sort of Danielson's comments about, like, if you put on great wrestling, fans will always want to see great wrestling. I think where it becomes that doesn't become the full truth is that there's just so much wrestling. And so, yeah, if you put on a lot of great wrestling, sure, like, people want to tune in to see it. But, like, a lot of these indie companies put on great wrestling. But we see so much great wrestling that it's like, all right, I've seen this before. I know this is good. And, like, AEW, a lot of these matches stand out above the rest. But I don't think it's a full truth in that, like, if you build it, they will come type of thing. Because you can just see great wrestling any day of the week. And I do think that's where you do need a little more story to get people invested. And not even so much story, more just like characters to get people invested. That's always been my kind of complaint with AEW, is like, everyone's like cool and stuff, but you're not really sinking your teeth into every single person. Yeah, I love Bryan Danielson, best wrestler of all time, in my opinion. But when were fans really behind him? It was when he was the plucky underdog who everyone rallied behind. When were they also behind him? When he was the Planet champion and he had the hemp title, which absolutely rules. And then he was opposing Kofi and leading into Kofi Mania. There was a really well-defined character in both instances with Bryan Danielson. Now, the underdog stuff, It was him being him, and then he just got screwed over by the booking until they had no choice but to put him there. But just like great wrestler Bryan Danielson, I can see if people are just like, oh, okay, there's just a lot of great wrestlers. AEW, they don't have necessarily that white hot baby face that it's like, no matter what, this man is the man of morality who will stand up against what he believes is wrong. And we're 100% behind him no matter what. Like, they got that in WWE with Cody. That's why so many people are behind Cody. It's like, Cody is a beacon of hope against the machine, against Roman Reigns, against the bloodline. He kisses babies. You know, Roman calls him the politician and everything. Like, AEW doesn't necessarily have those kind of characters that's like, yeah, I'm behind this person no matter what. Or I can't stand this person no matter what. Swerve Strickland breaks into a man's home and you're supposed to dislike this man, but everyone's like, we love Swerve because he's a great wrestler and Prince Nana does his dance. And sometimes you just need that person that's like, no, you hate this person no matter what. They got no redeeming qualities. You love this person no matter what. Even if, like, they might take a shortcut, it's for the greater good type of thing. That's where I think it needs to be more than just great wrestling. It needs to be like actual well-defined characters that have traits that you can identify with.
Yeah, I think that some of that's on the fans too, because when we, even though we know we're supposed to hate some of these guys, we don't. And even though we know we're supposed to like some people, we're kind of, you know, and we when we see, you know, a guy like Swerve Strickland, for example, when we're supposed to just hate this guy, we don't. We still cheer for him because he's kind of cool. You know, he's a good guy. And, you know, we love what he does in the ring, so we still cheer for the guy a little bit. And then that makes it hard for booking because you're trying to make this guy this evil, you know, monster, and you can't do it. And it makes it very difficult to do what you say, that you're trying to, you know, make this defined role for everybody. It's really weird that to make a guy like a John Cena, for example, it's nearly impossible. It really is.
It is very tough, especially in AEW, where people just want to cheer for cool wrestlers and people like really cool wrestling matches. Like Swerve should have been kind of their top heel with no redeeming qualities, but people just cheered for him. I think Hangman should have been like their red hot baby face that people really got behind, but then they felt they had to turn him because everybody was cheering for Swerve. Samoa Joe should be your despicable heel, but people think Samoa Joe is cool because he is. So they want to cheer for Samoa Joe. Like, they got good baby faces in like Darby. I know he's injured right now, but like Darby's a guy that people rally behind and kind of connect with. Orange Cassidy is a guy that gets rallied behind and people see something different in him. The Young Bucks, they're trying with the heel stuff, and Okada's part of that, but people still just want to cheer Okada because people think Okada is cool and he's such a great wrestler. So it is tough. It is sometimes on the audience to just be like, hey, actually boo this guy. And like, that's a respect for the work they are doing as well, instead of cheering everything they're doing. I do think in some aspects, that's also when you need to, and I kind of hate saying this, but like almost dumb down the wrestling and don't do so many cool moves that people are going to cheer for. Sometimes you do just need to be like, you know what? I don't actually like this person because not only is he a bad person, but he's not doing a bunch of cool stuff that I think rules in a wrestling ring. He's actually wrestling kind of a meandering style and cheating in the matches type of thing. Because I do think that is one thing they do lack, is there's no down period. Like, Okada's still going to do all of his cool moves. He's not going to like fully cheat in a wrestling match. And I do think stuff like that needs to be happening.
Yeah, it's funny that when, you know, you and I, you know, we deal with this stuff every day looking at it, and the intricacies and just little tiny things that go into the industry and matches and characters and everything else, man, the line is so fine between success and failure. It's incredible. Of course, Jeremy Lambert has no problem with that with Fightful.com. Did you want to stick around for one more, Jeremy? You got time? Or?
Yeah, I got time.
All right. Well, let's do that then, because you know what? He's the man. And if Jeremy wants to stay on my show, he can stay all day. Because, you know, he's amazing. That's it? That's all you got?
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Come on. You're a little bit of a heel. You're supposed to be, yeah, I'm the man.
I'm not a heel. I feel like I'm a baby face, but I don't know. Maybe I'm a heel.
I don't know. It depends what mood. Come on. With Joel Pearl on In the Weeds, you're the heel. We all know
I'm
this.
The baby face. The crowd loves me. They can't stand Joel. Joel's always wrong.
See, there you go. That's heelish. Stick around. We got a little bit more here. One more segment with Jeremy Lambert from Fightful.com. Stick around, everybody, here on The Mark Hoke Show on KDON 101.5 FM. The Talk of Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
FM KDON.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
Let's do this one more time, shall we? The best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on KDON 101.5 FM, The Talk Las Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for tuning in with us and sharing a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. It means a lot to me and everybody here at KDON. We are the top-rated live show on this station on a Sunday morning. You know, we're going against Jesus and Casey Kasem and everybody else and winning.
NCAA tournament's on? Like,
yeah.
Tournament games going on right now?
There's all sorts of stuff. How's your bracket, by the way? I know you do some sports stuff on your shows. So.
We do, but I don't fill out a bracket. I'm not a big college basketball player. I love the tournament. I'll watch the tournament all day long because I just – like championship settings, even if I'm not super familiar with the teams or anything. I don't fill out a bracket. I don't even pretend like I know what's happening in these games. I just root for good games.
Fair enough. Jeremy Lambert, too chicken to fill out a bracket. That's okay.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I definitely ain't filling out for money. I'm not going to spend like $5 to fill out a bracket. That's just a waste of $5 for me. I'll fill out one for free.
Okay.
But yeah, my bracket's not doing well, I'm sure. I fill it out and never check it again.
I think I've still got 13 and 16 Sweet 16 teams left so far. Unlike last year where my bracket was, you know, you have the little shootout game at the carnivals where you're blowing out the red star.
Yeah.
You know that? Yeah, yeah. My red star was, it was not good. It was destroyed. it was very, very bad. And I just tried to forget about that. I had one of the worst brackets on CBSSports.com in the entire planet. It was that bad. Anyway, TNA, a little bit of news out of there. Last night is apparently the Motor City Machine Guns are leaving. So they are out of there. We also have Killer Kelly is apparently leaving. We wonder why MK Ultra lost the tag titles, the Knockouts tag titles again. Well, now we know, apparently no, because one of them's taken off.
I got breaking news on Killer Kelly.
Yeah, what's up?
This is from my boss, Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select. She's still with TNA.
Okay.
It seemed like there was miscommunication and she's under contract until August of 2025.
Okay.
So I don't know if Killer Kelly is leaving just yet.
All right. So not going anywhere, but so we did lose.
Yeah, she might be taking time off, and that's why people thought that like, oh, she's leaving, but I think it's just taking time off, not actually leaving.
All right. So, but we still have the Motor City Machine Guns taken off there. So That's kind of a big deal.
I think it's not necessary, but I do think like they've done everything they can do in TNA, so they might as well see what else is out there, see what other offers come their way. They're obviously talented as a tag team and as individuals. I think they'd fit in great in AEW, obviously. They were there for one match a couple years ago. I think they'd do well in WWE. I'm very curious to see what that would look like, but I'm always curious when like it's someone you wouldn't expect in the company showing up in the company. So I don't know where they're going to go. My gut is always these people end up in AEW, like, you know, people who have been at AEW before and kind of have an AEW, we'll say, vibe to them. I feel like they're going to end up in AEW. I'd like to see them in WWE, though. I'd like to see what that looks like.
That would be fun. I think that they would certainly deserve the opportunity. But I know Joel's pretty hooked in with TNA. Is everything okay back there with, you know, since Scott took off? Is it settled down?
I assume so. The shows are still running. They're still doing their thing. No one's really said anything negative about TNA in that way. Like, they're just churning out shows. TNA is going to be around forever, I feel, just because they are literally hard to kill. But they're at where they're at, and they've been where they're at for a very long time. And I don't really know what there is, like, solution-wise to not make them where they're at, to, like, boost them. Maybe it's live television, but I don't know if that's the end-all, be-all. I don't know if that's the cure. There's already just so much wrestling. Like, AW came along and just knocked them down, and now they're another promotion out there that has a lot of good wrestlers, that does some really good things, but they're in the hierarchy of where they're at, and they can get a lot of different people. You know, they're bringing in Nemeth, they're bringing in Mustafa Ali, but they're still where they are.
Yeah,
they just keep floating on. As a, what was that, Modest Mouse, float on?
I'm not sure. I got to look that one up. Now you're making...
If it's not Taylor Swift's music or Eminem, I don't know who actually sang it.
Wow, that is a very interesting combination, sir, to say the least. But, of course, we'll keep an eye on that story. And, then, of course, TNA is going to be here April 20th and 21st. So looking forward to having TNA here at the Palms. Make sure you get your tickets for that. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from some of the TNA stars as we get closer to that event. Jeremy, what do you guys have going on? Hype it up, brother, with Fightful and, of course, your show.
Real quickly, I was correct. It was Modest Mouse with Float On. So my wife has informed me that I was correct on that. Thank you to her. Oh man, we got so much going on over at Fightful. You can just go to Fightful.com, check out all the news and stuff we have there. FightfulOverbooked.com if you want more of me and my voice or my face. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern, it is myself and Joel Pearl on In the Weeds. And I do another show called The Spotlight at 8:30 a.m. Eastern on Thursdays, myself and Steven Jensen. We have a lot of fun. We do a lot of interviews. It's a good time. Don't follow me on Twitter because I'm a troll on Twitter, so you probably won't like a lot of my takes. If you just go to Fightful.com and you'll see my name on the page, you can click my name, and then you can see all the stuff that I do.
Sounds fantastic. And you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And being very frank, one of the best, if not the best in the business, and I really have tremendous respect for you, Jeremy. And I thank you for everything you've done for me and the show, and you know, just keep it rolling, man. You're awesome.
I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I know it's not slowing down for me. It's WrestleMania season, busiest season of the world. But I appreciate you you having me on, and I was happy to come on today. I know it's been tough with a lot of stuff going on, so glad I had some time today. Always glad to do it.
You got it, brother. All right, guys, that's going to do it. We will see you next week on the Mark Hoke Show. Don't forget Booker T on SportsX Radio on Friday night. Vegas Toy Con, check it out. We'll see you next time on the Mark Hoke Show. Have a great day, Las Vegas.
Want more of the Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Like us on Facebook at the Mark Hoke Show. And visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show, and download our podcasts at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.